Turn to John chapter 8, if we could, please. John 8. John chapter 8. I think it's going to be a warm one today. I'm already feeling it. If I start sweating before I get up here, it's warm. So, well, that's all relative, isn't it? That's all relative. Yeah, compared to Florida. I remember we were down there for that one summer. Yeah, it's... But when you're only used to this, and it gets 90, it's warm. Probably you think it's... Probably 90 is when it's air conditioning's on in Texas. But anyway, excuse me, John 8, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love and your goodness. And we do thank you, Lord, that we do have a home to look forward to in heaven. And we pray, Father, to realize, Lord, that our time here is, Lord, short, and that we need to make the best use of it that we can. And Father, we do pray especially for tonight, Lord, as you, if you, Terry, you're coming, Lord, that we'd have an opportunity to pass out some tracks down in Grand Rapids, Lord, that you'd just go before us, and Lord, we'd, people would receive them, read them, Lord, and whatever their spiritual need is, Lord, they'd see that that needs to be met in you. We just pray for your wisdom during this time, and just lead, guide, and direct in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me, John 8, verse 32, John 8, 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And as we talk about July 4th, we celebrate our nation's independence and freedom. And so we're going to look a little bit this morning at freedom. We're going to look, let's see, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. When we get saved, we are free from the penalty of sin. Because everybody has a choice. They can either accept the payment that Jesus has made on the cross of Calvary as their payment for sin, or they can pay their own penalty for sin through eternity in a place of torment. And, you know, like I've mentioned before, some physical problems this week prevented me from going to the sheriff's camp, but in past weeks, you know, the guys out there, you know, trying to talk to them about hell, hell's a real place, you know, and their view of hell comes from Hollywood or who knows where it has come from in some ways. But God provides for every man. The Calvinist says that, you know, Jesus only dies for the elect. Well, the Calvinist needs to just plainly read some scripture, and Jesus died for everybody, for everybody. It only works for everybody, though, if we repent of our sin and trust in Christ. So we're free from the penalty of sin when we get saved. We need to be free from the power of sin in our daily walk in life. And that's such a huge key for our usefulness for God. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, excuse me, in verse 15, for so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. God has made us free to serve him. God has made us free to serve him. And there's a battle that goes on. Let's look in Galatians. In chapter 5, Galatians 5, there's a battle going on. Galatians 5, there's a battle within us, the flesh and the spirit. If we look in verse 16, Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the spirit, you're not under the law. So there's a battle going on. We're free, and the freedom we have now is to choose the right thing. Before we were slaves to sin before we knew Christ. We sinned by nature. There really was no battle whatsoever, except for maybe with our conscience a little bit and maybe a little bit with morality, but basically we just sinned by nature. We were just by nature were the objects of God's wrath because by nature we just did the wrong thing. But now there's a war going on. Now there's a war going on, and we know for us to have our freedom. In the United States of America, there's been many wars that have went on. And as was already mentioned during the singing time, many have lost their lives for us to be free. But the key for us in day-to-day living is for us to lose our lives. Because then we'll be free for God to use us. But when we think about ourselves, when we try to have our own agenda, that's when there's a struggle for us. That's when there's a struggle. Verse 13, right above that in Galatians 5, for brethren, you have been called into liberty. We were called to be free. That's what we were called to be free. But a lot of people look at the freedom as, okay, now I can do whatever I want. Now I can live in the way that I perceive things. But that's not what it's about. It's not about us being free to do what we want. It says in the verse continuing on here, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Our freedom is all about other people. Our freedom is all about other people. And that's the same mindset that anybody who was in a war, a physical war, had. They had a higher cause than themselves. They had a higher duty than their own desires, their own goals. And it can be a challenge. It can be a challenge. But that's where we are day by day, in this war that we have within ourselves. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4. Revelation 4. And verse, let's see, Revelation 4. Revelation 4 and verse 11. Revelation 4:11. The Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This is not about us. And many times we get caught up in that. This is about God. This is about his pleasure. This is about his purpose for us. Let's also look in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. The Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You know, we understand what Ecclesiastes is about. It's about vanity. It's about all the things that we could possibly do to try to make ourselves happy, fulfill ourselves. And after all that, after all that he tried to do, Solomon, to please himself, so to speak. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Actually, this is probably the verse that I remember most out of Ecclesiastes right here. It says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God is going to judge everything. He's going to judge everything. We're going to stand before him someday. And let's look, pastors referred to this recently, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 3, I guess we've turned to a lot of places already. We've only been doing this about 5 minutes. But 1 Corinthians 3, probably not very much different than it is any other week, huh? 1 Corinthians 3, we've had, Lynn and I have talked a little bit this week about, well, she is this the word? Is this the verse you got out here? 3:13, is that the one you got? Anyway, there's a new verse on the bulletin board out here. I think it's 3:13. No, I think it's something different actually. Now that I think about it, but 1 Corinthians 3, we'll start in verse 11 actually. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon his foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It isn't going to do us any good to have a mountain of things we've done and have them all be wood, hay, and stubble. It wouldn't do us any good to have multiple mountains of wood, hay, and stubble just consumed in a moment. Consumed in a moment. You know, and one of the things that the Lord has impressed upon me so many times is life is just 100 mile an hour. And it seems like it only gets faster. It only seems like there's more to do. It only seems like there's more things saying, you know, you need to give me some attention. Tasks, people. You know, and it really takes some wisdom to slow down and figure out, okay, what's really important here? A lot of times it's the urgent things. It's the things that demand our attention right now. We get so, it's like a rat race. We get so consumed with those that the things that are really important can sometimes be like the day's gone and like, what happened? You know, where'd the time go? But whatever, you know, what sort it is. What sort it is. That's the key. But we're going to spell free a little differently this morning. Okay, I teach math, so I don't teach language arts. I did for a while, but we're going to spell free, H-E-L-P, okay? Because if we really want to be free, we need to remember these four things. I think is it an acronym when each letter stands for, that's correct, an acronym? So this is an acronym. HELP is an acronym. But we all know to really truly be free, we need a lot of help. Because the minute we start depending upon ourselves, we're not free anymore. We're in bondage to ourselves. So H could stand for a lot of things. You know, I thought of humor. I mean, because really to be free, we got to have a sense of humor. We got to be able to laugh at ourselves. We got to be able to laugh at situations. We know the Lord's got a sense of humor. I mean, he deals with us, so he's got to be, you know, have some kind of sense of humor. Holiness would definitely be important as well. Because without holiness, we're not going to be able to do much of anything. Well, we're not going to be able to do anything at all. But what I come up with for age is humility. Because really, in my book, humility, and in the scripture, I believe, humility is the foundational Christian piece of character. Because if we don't have humility, we're not going to have anything else. If we don't have the right view of ourselves and the right view of God and have humility, God's not going to use us. God is not going to use us in the least. Let's look at James chapter 4. James 4. Trusting that these are all familiar verses about humility here, but we need to hear these over and over again. This is something that God's rehearsing in my mind all the time. Without humility, we're not going to be able to do anything. If we don't have humility toward God, if we don't have humility toward others, if we don't have humility toward the truth, we're not going to be usable. But in James chapter 4, excuse me, in verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Excuse me. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth envy? Verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Without grace, we're not going to be able to accomplish anything. God's grace has got to be evident in our life day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. Without his grace, we're going to be able to accomplish zero, or we'll have a false sense of accomplishment, and we'll have that mountain of wood, hay, and stubble. And let's just be honest. I'll be honest about for myself. You know, I do things, and it's wood, hay, and stubble. But, you know, there's times when we do that, and we kind of glory in it. We actually think we've accomplished something. But in the end, it's really not going to be anything of value at all. And so it's so important to have God's priorities to make sure that we don't end up with all that. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. A little bit of self-reliance will taint the whole thing. It's like one drop of poison in a gallon of water. The whole thing's ruined. The whole thing is deadly. And a little bit of self-reliance, a little bit of pride, a little bit of self, period. Any kind of self at all. God can't use that. Because if we're relying on self, that's pride. So God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You know, that's one of the key things, you know, in trying to talk to the guys out at the sheriff's camp. You know, they think they have a lot of answers, but they really don't have any answers unless they have a scriptural basis for what they believe. But it's so easy. It's so easy to get ourselves thinking about, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, thinking about, dwelling on, hoping in anything that comes from ourselves, any kind of plans we have. We need to yield ourselves to the Lord. And, you know, sometimes he changes things on us. You know, he you know, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Sometimes he wants to change things on us. Sometimes it's minor. Sometimes it's earth-shattering. You know, sometimes it's sickness. You know, and I've talked to Lynn about this, and, you know, this week I was ill, and I don't remember being sicker in my life. I don't remember. And if Jeremy will permit me the liberty here, when we were in Florida, oh, that's funny, liberty, freedom, that's good. When we were in Florida, we were in Mexico. I'm going to get this right, I hope. When we were in Mexico, he got ill, and he literally had to be helped to the doctor. And the how sick he looked is how I felt. I just felt terrible. I mean, there was one point in the ordeal, and it was an ordeal, that I was like, how long do we wait till I go to the emergency room? Because I was feeling that bad. But the Lord's good. The Lord's good, even in spite of that. He brings us through, or he's got another plan for us. But 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. You know, we make sure that we understand how to be clothed physically. And that's very important, because God's word speaks to that. God's word tells us there's a certain way we need to dress, and that's very important to emphasize. But we need to also emphasize how to be clothed with our attitudes and in our hearts and in our minds, equally as important. You know, and it says here to be clothed with humility. That should be something that is just as evident in our countenance and as evidence in our tone of voice, in our word choice, in everything, in how we deal with others. You know, people notice that. Lynn and the girls had an opportunity to be at the 4-H fair yesterday, receiving in projects and stuff that people had done. You know, and one of the things I hoped from that and prayed yesterday was that, you know, that light will be something people notice. You know, that how they handle themselves during that and so forth. You know, because those opportunities to be, you know, out in a situation like that, God can use those in a mighty way. People can notice that. You know, we already are. You know, we're praying and hoping for a neighbor lady who's a part of that. That, you know, God would use our testimony and our salt that we try to put in there and so forth. And we see it, the Lord could be doing a work there. So, you know, all those opportunities, but it takes humility. You know, when somebody treats us like a servant, does it bother us? You know, because that's really what Jesus was. Jesus was a servant, and he said that you know, I can't quote it. No greater love the man of this than he laid down his life for his friend, or probably got the words wrong. But that's the point. You know, we die to self. We have enough humility that when we are humbled, it doesn't bother us. I mean, Jesus, let's look in Philippians 2. Philippians 2, Jesus, I mean, he gave up everything. And it should not, we need to be careful that it doesn't cause a struggle for us. I remember working in fast food for a long time. You know, when you clean up people's junk, a lot of times they leave it on the table. You know, they don't pick up after themselves. Somebody spills something, drops something, you got to go pick it up. But that's a part of the job. You know, that's a part of being an employee of a fast food place. But when we have that same thing, spiritually speaking, with unbelievers, other Christians, do we see that as part of our role? You know, to be humble and do it willingly. You know, do it with the right frame of mind. Philippians 2, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies fulfill you, my joy, they be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And, you know, we read this verse, and, you know, we might even have it in memory, but the key, though, is what happens at the beginning or at the instant in which we perceive that this is going to happen, that we need to consider other or esteem other better than ourselves. Because, you know, too often for me, it's self comes to the front. You know, self comes to the forefront. It comes to the top, you know, instead of just willingly yielding. You know, but the Bible's real clear. In lowliness of mind, you know, sometimes we get the idea that, you know, we could never do certain things, you know, but spiritually speaking, you know, because some people, they have, what I mean by that is some people, they have a real struggle with blood. You know, if they see blood, they really get, I have one child that's like that. And we were in the hospital one time visiting somebody, and I thought she was messing around, but she really was fainting. Like literally right on, almost on me. And I'm like, oh, come on, you know. Well, no, it's a girl anyway, one of the girls. But she wasn't playing around. You know, that caught me by surprise. But, you know, do we, or some people have struggle with other things, you know, to clean up certain things or whatever. But spiritually speaking, you know, we need to realize we are not above any kind of loving, helpful service to other people that God calls us to. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. A servant. You know, do we see ourselves that way? A servant. And was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But that's what true humility results in. It results in dying to self. Self won't matter. Self won't matter. And I'll be the first to admit, self matters way too much to me at times. You know, it matters too much to me at times. But we all need to work at things as far as letting God have his way in our hearts and in our lives. So anyway, humility. We can look at a couple real fast in Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, 15. While you're turning there, I'll read Isaiah 66, 2, the second half of the verse. Isaiah 66, 2 says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. You know, we want God to look to us. We've got to be poor and a contrite spirit and trembleth at his word. You know, that we have to be humble for the truth, or in relation to the truth, in response to the truth. You know, the Holy Spirit all the time is trying to lead us, as we read there in Galatians chapter 5, all the time, trying to get truth into our hearts and in our minds. Isaiah 57, 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know, there was a a point or 10 that I was looking for some reviving as far as dealing with being sick. You know, it's not enjoyable. But you know, the Lord's grace was sufficient. And it's not always God taking us out of something. Many times it isn't. It's us knowing that His grace is enough to bring us through it. And we can come out the other side and look, praise God for His faithfulness. You know, praise God He provided, whatever the situation might be. Okay, we're going to have to hurry through these last three. But anyway, help. Number one, humility. I didn't really think of anything else for E. I just thought of encouragement. We all need encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement. And we see David in 1 Samuel 30. He encouraged himself in the Lord as God. And that's where it's got to start. But that doesn't mean we don't need encouragement from other people. Let's look in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. But we all know, too, if we don't receive the encouragement from God, it's probably, well, I don't know, maybe it's just my experience personally, but if we don't receive the encouragement from God, it's kind of hard to receive the encouragement from other people at times. God all the time is trying to encourage us from His Word, trying to get us to stay on track, focused, and so forth. So we need to make sure we're encouraged in both ways as far as that goes from both God and other believers. But verse 24 of Hebrews 10, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Sometimes being provoked is not always fun. Sometimes it's not. But we need to receive it. And we need to have the willingness to follow it. So verse 24 again, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhort, encourage, same idea. We cannot get the encouragement we need if we're not in church. If we're not in church. Now, obviously, there's certain reasons not to be here for the betterment of everybody else that's here. But the point is, when we can be here, we need to be here. You know, when we go on vacation, we need to be in church. We need to find some place to go because there's no substitute for it. And then also over in chapter 3 of Hebrews in verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. We don't know how many more days we have. The fewer the better. But while we do have today, we need to be encouraging one to another. Now that doesn't mean we always say everything that is always flowery and, you know, because, you know, being encouraging is giving the truth in love. We can see that in Ephesians chapter 4. But we need to, this is a daily thing, both from the Lord and from one another. And the reason why is continuing on the verse here, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful, and so is the heart. And it's really easy to allow ourselves to be deceived. Because we only need one little thing that's false. I use the Ivory soap example for those of us that know what that is, the 99 and 44, 100% pure. You know, even that little bit of impurity, even that little bit of deceptiveness, that little bit of lie in the truth, taints the whole thing. All right, so H, humility, E, encouragement, and L is love. And we're just going to look at one verse, or three verses in one spot, Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Verse 37. Matthew 22:37. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest and great commandment. In verse 39, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we really want to be free, our focus is going to be on love. Loving other people. Laying down our life for other people. Sacrificing for other people. But that starts with a love for God. Because without that right motive, we're just creating another mountain or another heap or whatever on that wood, hay, and stubble pile. But to truly be free, we've got to have humility and encouragement, and we've got to have love. And we've got to see how much God loves us. You know, that's really a beginning point. You know, so many people have a distorted understanding of what love is. You know, in the way that many have grown up, family, even in churches, schools, whatever the case may be. But we need to love God, and we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. And then finally, so we need humility, encouragement, love. And the last one here, patience, perseverance, however we want to look at it. Let's look in James 1. James 1. You know, we can have humility and encouragement and love, but if we don't have perseverance, patience, we're not going to continue on in it. So it's very important. Humility, encouragement, love, and patience. This is really key for us being free as God wants us to be to serve Him. But James 1, verse 2. James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That could be a challenge. To count it all joy when we have struggles. But God commands us. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. If our faith is never tried, what really is our faith? I mean, it's not anything that has been tested. It's not anything that has been evaluated to see really how much substance there is there. But we know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So really, what's being tried is how much we know and are holding on and putting trust in the word of God. You know, because we face trials, we face struggles, and it might be, well, I don't really know, where does the Bible talk about something to deal with this? Well, we got to go find it. We got to hold on to it. We got to hold on to it. But that's what's really being tried, is where does our faith rest, and how strong is our faith, and how enduring is our faith? You know, because we have difficult situations at times. I have difficult situations at times. How long does my faith last? You know, how long does it continue on? You know, patience in my family, with my wife, with my children. How long does it last? How long is that word of God really meaningful as far as directing my actions, my words? And that's a challenge that all of us need to, you know, ask ourselves about. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's God's goal for us. Be therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's God's goal for us. And then verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, you know, sometimes you're like, well, I don't understand this. What's the point of this? Well, sometimes it's just for us to learn. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. We've got to have faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let's finish with Hebrews 12, just over maybe a page or two. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, so often we've got a weight that prevents us from having the patience. And you know, sometimes, and I guess it's really not a weight, but it's just kind of a thought process, you know, that deceives us or something. But, you know, our patience can be hindered by hanging on to that weight, hanging on to that sin. And it wears us down. It bogs us down. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This process involves endurance. It involves endurance. It involves, at times, being shamed, you know, and having enough humility to deal with it. It involves seeing that it's not going to be this way forever. You know, Jesus is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we've got a home in heaven waiting for us as long as we've repented and trusted in the Lord Jesus. So it's not going to be this way forever. But we got to be We got to be forward thinking and heavenly thinking. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. It seems like lately we've come to this verse a lot. Seems like we have. Because we've got to be careful about our minds. You know, because our minds will run away with themselves as far as what we dwell on, what we think about, what we believe. We got to be very careful. But we got to consider Jesus. I mean, that's the end of it all. Considering him, what was he like, and becoming like him, no matter what the struggle. You know, but to truly be free, we need help. We need reliance. You know, we could have talked about the vine and the branches, and apart from me, ye can do nothing. Zero, talks about in John. But we have to have that humility to admit it. You know, we need the encouragement from God and others. We need to love. You know, and a lot of times, let's be honest, sometimes we don't feel like loving. But we got to get beyond our feelings. And then we got to patiently continue on that God can use us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your patience with us. And we just pray, Father, to allow you to search us and try us and know our hearts. And Father, just show us what we can improve upon, Lord, that you might use us. And Father, just continue to bless in this day. In Jesus' name, amen.